This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. If you've ever wondered what you're breathing near the Aspen-Pickens County Airport, the county is about to find out. The Aspen Daily News reports that officials are launching a year-long air quality study, partnering with consulting firm Mead & Hunt to monitor pollution and model greenhouse gas emissions. 11 monitoring stations, from the runway to downtown Aspen, will track pollutants linked to health risks, like nitrogen dioxide and fine particulate matter. The data will help guide future efforts to cut airport emissions as Pickens County works toward its goal of a 30% reduction by 2030. Aspen City Council wants to focus on three major projects this year. Those are the Lumberyard Affordable Housing Development, the Armory Hall Redevelopment, and the entrance to Aspen. They took several major steps on those projects in 2025. But Councilwoman Christine Benedetti says there are still steps to take on those projects.
I think that we want to see through and kind of carry on a lot of the priorities we set, which were all infrastructure related, you know, making sure those all continue to move forward expeditiously.
Beyond those projects, councilors also want to focus on enhancing early childhood education, wildfire resiliency, and improving traffic flow and congestion. The city of Glenwood Springs is adding a new van to its on-demand bus service. That's because demand gets so high that wait times have gotten too long. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz has more.
Ride Glenwood on Demand kicked off in May of last year, and in the first month there were 7,000 rides. City Market was the top destination, and the busiest day of the year was the last, New Year's Eve, followed by Strawberry Days in June. The service peaked in October with 8,300 rides that month. But that meant wait times could be over 30 minutes. It forced the city to add a fourth van during busy times. City Transportation Engineer Lee Berger was looking to amend the existing contract for 2026 at a meeting last week to address this issue permanently. The additional van would increase the 2026 program budget to almost $2 million. Council passed the request 5-2. Although Councillor Mitchell Weimer voted yes, he said the free program is affecting businesses.
My father-in-law works for one of the taxi companies in town, and their business is way down.
Your what?
Business is down. And it almost significantly. And it coincided pretty cleanly with us ramping up the Ride Glenwood.
The city's plan is to continue gathering data and considering impacts on local businesses with a potential ridership survey scheduled for the spring. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
In statewide news, a judge has temporarily halted the Trump administration's move to freeze childcare funding to Colorado. But as CPR's Caitlin Kim reports, some parents are worried about what happens next.
Evelyn Freeman is a single mom who works full-time and is going to school to earn her associate's degree. She juggles all that with federal funding that makes childcare for her two kids more affordable. But whether she'll have that help after January 31st is very much in question. If she doesn't have childcare, she can't go to work and pay rent.
I'm just worried that, you know, taking childcare away, my entire life could fall apart.
The Trump administration has halted the payments over concerns about fraud, but has provided no examples of it in Colorado. In Washington, D.C., I'm Caitlin Kim, CPR News.
Downtown Denver has been struggling, but one big tech ally of Mayor Mike Johnston is betting big on the 16th Street Mall.
Ibotta, the AI-powered cashback company that works with Walmart, King Soopers, and Walgreens, is coming off of a tough year. Workers saw layoffs, stock values plummeted, and shareholders sued. But CEO Brian Leach has one big thing to celebrate. The company has opened up headquarters off 16th Street. Around 500 workers are expected to be in the office Tuesday through Thursday. There they can enjoy a grand piano room, Himalayan altitude workouts, and a short walk to downtown restaurants, bars, and transit. I'm Kyle Harris, Denverite.
Colorado is opening an online portal next week where the public can log misconduct. By Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE. The Attorney General's office says the portal will be used to review documented ICE activity in the state and address any concerns. According to Denver 7, Attorney General Phil Weiser referenced the current situation in Minnesota and said he wants to keep Coloradans safe. ICE activity in Minnesota has surged since an agent killed Renee Good a week ago. Leaders from the Ute Mountain Ute and Southern Ute tribes gave the fourth annual State of the Tribes address Friday in front of a joint session of the Colorado Legislature. Southern Ute Chairman Melvin J. Baker called on lawmakers to collaborate more on public safety, environmental contamination cleanups, and illegal construction of power lines on tribal land. Ute Mountain Ute Tribal Council member Marilyn House urged lawmakers to consult with tribes more often.
The government has broken many promises and treaties. A way to move forward from the past would be to always consult with tribes.
House and Baker also highlighted housing, healthcare, Colorado River water rights, and sports betting as other key issues for the tribes. The Ute Mountain Ute and Southern Ute reservations are in southwest Colorado, but they lived for generations across much of the state. Other tribes, like the Arapaho and the Cheyenne, also called Colorado home. And in regional news, the Department of Interior is taking next steps to set up the new U.S. Wildland Fire Service. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse has more.
The new service will be composed of the four separate fire programs within Interior, including the Bureau of Land Management's. This week, the department said it will, quote, streamline decision-making, improve operational efficiency, and enhance the department's ability to respond quickly and effectively to wildfire threats. Josh Hicks with the advocacy group The Wilderness Society says that wildfire policy needs to focus on getting more beneficial fire on the ground through practices like prescribed burning, as numerous researchers and officials have argued.
This is going in the opposite direction of getting fire back on the landscape and really divorces suppressing fires from natural resource management and getting fire back on the landscape.
The Trump administration had requested some $6.5 billion for the new agency, but Congress appears to have passed a measure that provides no such funding. Hicks did have praise for the Fire Service's new chief, Brian Fennessy, who comes to the position with a decades-long career in wildland and structure fire. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Across the Mountain West, decisions about water can hinge on incomplete data in a region where supplies are limited. As Caleb Radel reports, a new satellite-based tool aims to give farmers and water managers a clearer picture.
The tool is called OpenET. It uses satellite data to estimate how much water crops are actually using, field by field. For farmers, that could mean dialing in irrigation more precisely, using less water, and cutting down on waste. The data could also help water managers better plan for shortages. Sarah Larson is the CEO of OpenET. She says the tool can give some of the driest parts of the country new insight into where water is going.
In this climate change setting, it can be incredibly challenging to understand what our uses are, what kind of impacts that's having on the overall sustainability across watersheds, across entire basins.
She says that challenge is especially clear in places like the Colorado River Basin, where water demand continues to outpace supply. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.